Greetings, Bikescapers. This is Bikescape number 33, November 2nd, 2005. Time for another Bikescape. This one's been in the works for a while. I realize it's a little late. As usual, I'm late with the Bikescape episode. You don't mind. You don't notice when they're late, do you? This podcast has sort of evolved from the beginning. Originally, it was going to be about riding your bike to work and using it on the train, on BART, in particular, the train we have here in San Francisco. It's a commuter train that goes out to the across San Francisco Bay and takes you out to the East Bay, to Oakland and Berkeley and points west, or points east, I should say. So I wanted to do that, and I got the idea by looking at a BART bulletin. It said they were going to have customer focus meetings at certain BART stations, and you can go and ask questions and give input. So I thought I'd bring my iRiver and record a interview or try and do something. And well, it didn't work out. I went down there and they didn't want to talk on the air. They said I had to go talk to the media department and they'd get in trouble if I played them on the air. So, you know, that's that. But then I thought about it some more and I thought, you know, it's more about getting across the bay. The other way to get across the bay is on the bridge. You can't ride your bike on the bridge. There's no bike lane or sidewalk. Can't walk across the bridge. But there is a bike shuttle, so we're going to talk about that today, too. And just various ways to get across the bay and what it's like to do it, and also plans for the future ways to get across the bay. And if you live in New York, you know, there's, I don't know, 5 bridges going across the various rivers, and there's bicycles allowed on all the bridges, bicycles allowed on all the subways at all times, day or night. So they somehow manage in New York, but it's just something weird about BART and San Francisco Bay Bridge. So I did talk to some guys at BART. I'm not going to identify them as BART employees, but they did say this one incriminating thing that really bugged me.
For every one person that wants to bring a bike along, there will be very, very many more who wanted to keep them off because, number one, they say bikers are rude. They leave their bicycles right in the front and they won't move them. But people need to get out. They brush up against the wheels and they get their business clothes stained, that sort of thing. And each bike and person takes up 3 spaces as opposed to a person, which takes up 1 space.
Right.
We also get the ones who circumvent the rules. Like, to make it easier, there are no restrictions on the Richmond-Fremont line because it's not usually that crowded.
Oh, is that true?
Right.
I didn't know that.
So, but what
people... predetermined.
Right. Yeah. Bear in mind that the train operator always has the right to say, it's too crowded, all bicycles off. You know,
yeah.
That's part of his job. So what a lot of... Not, I should say a lot, but what some bicyclists do is they get on there... They know they're supposed to go Fremont, Richmond only, but they get off and transfer the train into the city, for example.
Uh-huh.
You know, things like that.
You can only ride BART at certain times of the day. You can't take your bike on the escalator, even though it's safer than taking him on the stairs. You can't do anything fun on BART. You know, there's even a little sign on the wall of the station that turned this down. Sorry, BART. You know, there's even a sign on the wall that says, you know, your voice might be recorded on this train. There's cameras watching you all the time. And if you live here in San Francisco, you know we have a party in the city, and people either ask to spend the night, or They have to leave early because BART shuts down at midnight. It's just a, you know, pretty crappy system for bicyclists, and it sucks because, you know, BART, you know, people, the reason people don't take public transit is because it doesn't leave from their house and it doesn't go where they're going. And one of the beautiful things about BART, you know, about bicycles and trains, the marriage of the two, is that they can that you can leave from your house, you can get to BART or your whatever commuter train you want to get to quickly. You know exactly when you're going to get there. You don't have to spend any time waiting for the train if you know the schedule, and you get to go where, you know, it takes you right to where you're going. The combination of the two modes, and it really sucks that BART doesn't work very well for bicyclists in this town. And you know, I did ask these guys, you know, why is it that you know, Caltrain, there's another train that goes down south, works pretty well. They actually have the last car of the train is dedicated to bicyclists, and they have a space where you can, you know, tie your bicycle up to the wall, and you get little tags so that everybody knows where everybody's getting off and their bicycles don't get in the way. And it's just a wonderful system, and BART just won't consider it. You know, they won't. The first and last car of the train has a driver in it. They won't allow bicycles in any car that has the driver, and they just won't consider it. And that little clip that I played, you know, sort of illustrates what I've always suspected about BART. You know, I've always been I've been yelled at many times for minor infractions, or not even for, you know, not even for breaking the rules that the station agents make up on the fly sometimes, and I've always suspected that they just hate bicyclists, but I didn't really want to believe that, but it does seem to be true in a lot of cases among a lot of these station agents, and I would love to be proven wrong, but they don't seem to want to make any effort to be friendly to bicyclists, and they actually seem to have gone out of their way to make it difficult. So that's kind of a drag, but there's another way you can get across the bridge, and if you commute as I do, do the reverse commute to Berkeley every day, you can try taking the Caltrans bike shuttle. It's run by Caltrans, the people that build the freeways and run the bridges in the state of California, and it's this wonderful orange bus that takes you across. You put your bike on the back on a trailer full of bike racks, and last Thursday I took the bike shuttle, and here's a little interchange between, you know, I talked to Art, the driver, and an anonymous person in the back seat. Here.
Yeah, so there's like this little orange van, and it holds about, I don't know, 10, 15 people.
Yeah, 14 people.
Yeah.
And it has 14 spaces in the bike rack.
Hang on a second, I'm going to start that one over again. That didn't sound right.
Bay Bridge 42266.
Okay, we're just leaving MacArthur Station in Oakland on the Bay Bridge bike shuttle.
That's right. I just called in the passenger count.
Fastening my seatbelt. So there's this, there's a trailer on the back with space for... Wait, what's your name? And what do you do?
My name is Art Borges, and I'm a operator for Caltrans. And I operate the bike shuttle across the Bay Bridge for all the bikers.
Yeah, so there's like this little orange van, and it holds about, I don't know, 10, 15 people.
Yeah, 14 people.
Yeah.
And it has 14 spaces in the bike rack.
And what is it? How many times a day do we leave? You cross the bridge, what, 5 times a day, 4 times?
Yeah, for my shift, there's 2 shifts. There's the morning shift that starts between like 5:30 and 9. And then I'm in the afternoon shift, and I start transporting people starting 3:50 in the afternoon, and I ended at around 6:30.
And it costs great. He wants to talk to you? Go ahead.
No, I was going to turn that down.
Oh, that's okay. That's
the 4252 Bay Bridge.
And so, it costs a measly dollar to get on the best deal in town.
It's fucking great. I mean, you go across, you go past the toll plaza.
Yeah, the toll plaza.
And
we don't have to pay toll because we're commuters.
We have our own special lane and everything.
That's right.
I feel really privileged, and for a dollar, I mean, that's the best thing in the world.
How long has it been a dollar? It's been a dollar for like 10 years.
Yeah, more than that. It goes back. I mean, I talked to a guy that works for Caltrans, and his first job was running the shuttle. That was back in 1977, and he said that it cost 25 cents to get on.
Really?
77?
Yeah, so considering almost 30 years ago, that's not much of an increase to a dollar.
Oh, yeah, barely pays for the gas, let alone your salary.
No, yeah, this is one of those things that's it's a really good opportunity for people that want to save gas, or, you know, have nothing to do with gas, just that ride their bike and all that freedom, get a nice view across the Bay Bridge.
Also, just if you want to ride the East Bay Hills instead of San Francisco or vice versa, it makes it cheap enough to just go for a long day ride.
Yeah, you can actually get on without a bike, right?
Yeah.
Pedestrians are allowed to use it, too.
That's true. The only exception is if there's 14 bikes, then, the bikers get the priority.
But, so why is it that Caltrans provides this wonderful service? There's a reason, right?
Yeah, well, according to what I've gathered, it's a state law to have a commuter van for all bikers across all the main bridges.
And that's because in California, you're not allowed to ride your bike across the bridge, right?
Practically, yeah. Well, there is a couple of bridges where you can go across. The Dumbarton has a biker lane. But San Mateo doesn't, and Bay Bridge doesn't have a lane either, so that's why they provide this.
So San Mateo, Bay Bridge, and the San Rafael Bridge, right?
Yeah, San Rafael as well. Now, you know what? That's a good question. I'm not even aware of there being a bike shuttle going across the San Rafael Bridge.
It's the prison shuttle, I think.
Is that right?
I believe it is.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Or it was.
I haven't heard about it, but...
Yeah, so I guess you can't ride BART during the rush hour. So this only operates during rush hours.
Yeah.
And you can't ride BART. You can't bring your bike on BART during the rush hour.
Yeah,
for inexplicable reasons. And you also can't ride your bike on these bridges. So this is I guess there's a state law, or I think it's actually in the Constitution.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
You have a right to get on to get across all the byways and highways of the state. And if you can't get on one, then the Caltrans has to provide. That's why they call it provided shuttle or something. They have some weird Caltrans word for it.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll have to look that up.
Just rolling past the toll here.
This is the Easy Rider. Everybody loves this little tour. I call it a tour.
And when you ride in the bike shuttle, you sit up high and you can see over the side. You can see you can watch them building the new bridge, and you can see the view a lot better than you can in a car.
And I noticed over the last couple of months, people are commenting on the progress on the bridge.
The new bridge.
Yeah, they notice new stuff going up, and it's moving right along. But there's still so much work to do. It's a long way to go.
It's pretty impressive. I mean. There's some things that are wrong with this new bridge. For one thing, you'll never be able to put a train on it like you could on the old bridge.
Yeah.
What happens to the old bridge?
That's a good question. We keep asking that.
You know what? Well, from what I heard, it's been sold to another foreign country, and they're gonna take it apart piece by piece and rebuild it somewhere else.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, why not?
Yeah, I guess that's a pretty good way to conserve or to recycle.
Yeah, so the new bridge... When's it going to be ready? In like 10 years? It's got another 10 years left on it.
This bridge here? No, I would say, I heard it was going to be done in like 2009, but you know, they run into red tape and all kinds of little obstacles that I'd say 2010 would be a good... Yeah. I'd say for sure it'll be up by then. I mean, because it's already half up, you know, you can see it's... Halfway there.
It's getting there, yeah. Well, this must be the easy part.
Not to mention, look how far it is, too. I mean, we're talking, this is about 3.5 to 4 miles just going across this way.
Yeah. Yeah, so the whole Bay Bridge is, what, 7 miles? Most people listening to this aren't in the San Francisco.
Yeah, 7 miles long. Yeah. And I think it goes by pretty fast on this little tour.
Yeah, and you can see where the new bike lane is going to be on the new bridge. The new bridge is going to have a bike lane, but it's only... So the bridge, the way it works is actually two bridges. Three bridges, technically. And the first bridge that they're building now is going to replace the bridge we're on right now, the first leg of the bridge, and it just stops it's going to stop at the Treasure Island, and then you get on the suspension bridge, which is actually two bridges hooked together.
Yeah.
And so the new bridge is going to have a bike lane. You'll be able to take the bike to Treasure Island and ride around the island, but then you're stuck.
Yeah, you're stuck. You have to take either a Beauty, and depending on what they decide, I don't know, they may make a stop to pick up bikers at Treasure Island.
Actually, there already is one, right?
Yeah, there pretty much is. Yeah, if you wanted to, on request, I can drop you off at Treasure Island right here, because there's actually a bus stop I can pull over on.
So in the old days, this bridge is a double-decker bridge right now.
Yeah.
And the lower deck was trains, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Light rail, what they call light rail nowadays, trolley cars. Mm-hmm. So in those days, I hear that the capacity of the bridge was actually a lot, I don't know the numbers, but it was a lot higher than it is now with just cars on it.
With the passengers on the train?
On the train, yeah.
Yeah.
The number of people that could move across the bridge was much higher. Oh, we're hitting some brake lights here.
Yeah, this is kind of typical around this time. Well, it's Thursday evening, 4:30, and everybody's getting ready for the weekend. Leaving work early, where everybody's excited to go home.
Yeah. Everybody's always relaxed on the bike shuttle, even when there's a traffic jam.
We have a lot of fun on this thing.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's a nice, clear day,
all the way out
too.
To the Golden Gate Bridge, and there's tankers coming in, and there's a bunch of tankers parked out there.
Gorgeous.
Skyline stretching out, Twin Peaks in the background.
You can't even see Mount Davidson. You can barely see it. It's the highest mountain up ahead on the right. You can see the cross right on top, too. And then you can see that it's actually higher than Twin Peaks.
Yeah, here you can tell.
Yeah.
Never makes me mad. That's what is that guy's name? It's from an album of Bay Area funk from the 60s. Charles Leonard. I wonder if he's still around. So, sorry about that ending so abruptly. Probably should have continued recording, but I didn't. I was in the middle of my commute. But that's Art. Great guy. Really nice to talk to him and meet all the other people. And you see the same people every day on that bike shuttle is just really nice, and when one of these days it'll be just whatever, I love the bike shuttle. It's a wonderful thing. So there's going to be a link to the bike shuttle on the blog, bikescape.blogspot.com. check it out. I'll put the schedules up. You can find out How to go, how to take it, and when it leaves. It leaves from it goes back and forth between the Transbay Terminal in San Francisco, where all the East Bay buses are, to MacArthur Station over in North Oakland. So right near Berkeley. So it's a nice centrally located East Bay location. And usually, you know, if you do the reverse commute, you always get a seat. And I never heard of people really getting bumped going the other way either, but it sometimes, I believe, does happen. So don't all of you go on at the same time, okay? So that was my commute, and then on my way down Market Street, headed towards home, I thought, I'm stopping by the Bike Coalition. I'm going to see if Andy's there. And I caught him just as he was leaving, and he told me about some of the political stuff that's going on around the bicycles on the bridge. So here you go.
All right. We're rushing out of the Bike Coalition right now. Just caught Andy Thornley to ask him what's up with the Bay Bridge these days.
What's happening with the Bay Bridge these days? Well, listeners, will some of you know that the east span of the Bay Bridge is being rebuilt, and as it's being rebuilt, it's getting a pedestrian bike side path that will take you from Oakland over to Yerba Buena Island and then down to Treasure Island. But the west span is not being rebuilt, it's just being retrofitted seismically. And so it's a different proposition politically to try to incorporate a bike ped pathway on the bridge, because politically everyone says, we're done, we're not really going to do anything more to that. So the big job is politically to keep that question open, because we need to be able to go all the way across the bay. We also need to point out to people that San Francisco is about to get a brand new neighborhood. Any second now, Treasure Island is going to become a part of San Francisco.
That's the island halfway across the bridge.
Was built back in the late 30s. Uh-huh. Some space for the Navy. It became a World's Fair area, and to catch up, currently the Navy is giving it up, and San Francisco is going to be taking it over. We're going to be building a set of new neighborhoods out there.
Pretty much car free,
yeah. The Bike Coalition trying to...
That's a podcast in itself.
Oh, yeah. Trying to shape that conversation. So, as we form a new neighborhood that's car free mostly, we want to make sure that you can get to that neighborhood car free from San Francisco. So there's one angle that we're playing, and it makes good sense, is we need a side path on the west span of the Bay Bridge so that you can walk or bike from one neighborhood to another in your great city. It seems unreasonable that you would have to drive to a neighborhood in the city and you couldn't just walk there. So we're working with the Treasure Island folks. The mayor has just shaken things up. Former supervisor Tony Hall, who had been the director or admiral or some sort of executive of the Treasure Island folks, has been booted. And now the mayor's office is sort of taking over that project. And so we're trying to cozy up to the mayor and sell him on the idea of supporting a West Van pathway. Another thing that we're looking at is that the Rincon Hill area of San Francisco is being redeveloped. The planning folks have drawn up a master plan for Rincon Hill. They're specifying some of the tallest residential towers west of the Mississippi. I don't remember quite how tall, but I invite listeners to go check out the Rincon Hill plan, because we're going to get Vancouverized a little bit. There are going to be some very tall towers. And that property happens to be more or less where the Bay Bridge lands on the San Francisco side of things. So we have to be very vigilant, and we're working with planning and MTA to make sure they leave space for the pathway that will come down off of the bridge and weave its way to the streets of San Francisco, which is the sort of afterthought that we might miss out on. In 10 years from now, when we finally get the money and the political will, we might not have left a place for the path to weave down and hit Fremont Street, let's say.
Is that the kind of thing that'll be discussed at the community meeting about the new Transbay Terminal that's coming up?
It might be. I'm not sure. And I myself must look into that. We've got other questions about bicycle space at Transbay Terminal, and certainly the Bay Bridge touchdown would be another big issue.
All right. Well, I'll let you go.
Thanks.
Thank you, Andy.
Bye-bye. Yeah, so thank you, Andy. Andy's always around to answer questions for Bikescape. He loves talking to Bikescape, and I love having him. So Yeah, there's going to be this great, well, hopefully a great new neighborhood out there on Treasure Island, halfway out in the middle of the bay. So we'll see how that works out. A car-free, utopian little San Francisco neighborhood. Great views. Kind of cold and windy, I'll bet, but it's going to be really interesting to see how that turns out and to follow the politics as it progresses. And also the new Transbay Terminal is something Bikescape will be keeping an eye on, too. I know that there's a community meeting coming up, and hopefully Bikescape will be there to check it out. So, and one other thing before we go on to the news. I got those BART guys, to admit that if you take a bicycle, take off the front wheel, and put it all in a 30-gallon trash bag, it ceases to be a bicycle. It becomes luggage. Shazam. So if you really, really want to bring your bike on the BART and you want to test the rules and you don't mind actually failing, they do tend to make up the rules as they go along. So, but that was good news. You can put your bike in a trash bag and bring it on BART. Also, the other thing that they did say that I should relay also is that folding bikes are legal all the time. So if you have a folding bike, that's the way to go on BART. I personally can't stand riding folding bikes, but maybe I've just never ridden a really good one. Okay, let's see. The news. Well, the big news is my son Theo. Some of you may know him from the Cycle Side podcast a few months back. Well, he learned how to ride a bike this weekend, and it took about 5 minutes. We went down to the Velo Swap. There was one kid's bike in the whole place. This little 13, 14-year-old kid was walking around with this bike for sale. Sold it to me for $30. It's a nice old Murray bike. It's kind of hard finding a nice bike for a kid. They're always like toys rather than the real thing. And we found this nice Raleigh bike. Theo loved it. And no training wheels. And then you also might know from an earlier podcast, my friend Cash. I was pretty surprised. He showed up right at the exact moment after we bought the bike and we were looking for a place to try it out. And, you know, he's just the perfect. He has two kids who both ride in the street. You know, they're young kids and they ride in the street with him in traffic. And they're alive. They're doing great. They're very happy, healthy kids. And Cash has been a great dad to them. And so he was a good person to have around right when Theo was looking, you know, holding on to getting his first bicycle. So we went down to the little test area where people who are thinking about buying a bicycle at the bike swap there can test ride their bikes. It's a big old area, and it's carpeted, had nice carpeting, and it was just the perfect place for a little kid to learn how to ride a bike. So we settled in there. We bought some Clif bars and some cookies and things and sat down and had a drink, and then I pushed him around on his bike, and it was unbelievable. I mean, I'm the proud dad here, but I just gave him a little shove and let go, and he was riding just like that. Even Cash was surprised. Cash wanted to take the pedals off. We lowered the seat all the way down. Cash wanted to take the pedals off and have him like hobby horse it around for a while, but I didn't. Well, first of all, we couldn't get the pedals off without some kind of lube or something. But it seems that a year on the Alley Cat really taught him a lot. You know, Theo, sometimes we're riding, he sits on the Alley Cat. It's one of those little third wheel things, little turns your bike into a tandem. And one day we're riding along and he said, "Hey Dad, look, if I lean over to the left, we turn." I said, "Yeah, stop that." So he's very happy. He was telling everybody who wanted to listen that he's now a bicyclist. And that's the big news from the Winston household. Theo, congratulations, Theo. In other news, I'm in the library and I couldn't print out my news, so making a quick jump over to bikeblog.blogspot.com, Michael Green's blog from New York. And I'm reading here, there's some nice pictures of Critical Mass in Times Square, and also the Halloween Critical Mass in London. And both Critical Masses went off really well. That's really good news. New York, as you know, have been harping about this for months. They've been hassled by the police and been sued by the city, and it's working out. They actually, for some reason, the police didn't bother them. I guess maybe they respected the holiday, is what somebody said, and you know, maybe they just didn't want to have a newspaper picture of them arresting some guy in a gorilla suit. I don't know. London, last month, the police handed out flyers saying, if you're caught riding a bike in critical mass, we're going to arrest you next month. And everybody showed up, and I think their timing was off, timing that for Halloween, but no hassle in London either. They had a lot of people. New York, the numbers are a little down because of all the arrests, but they had a few hundred people. London had more than 1,000 people. And here in San Francisco, we had at least 2,000 people. And we split up into at least three different rides. It went pretty well, pretty fun. So that was really nice. So that's critical mass in New York, LA. I'm sorry, New York and London and San Francisco. What else have we got? Let's look at the biker bulletin. Well, really, the only thing that I want to pass on to you is the Land Use Committee over at City Hall is going to be hearing your concerns about the Market Street, Octavia Street freeway conglomeration down there where all those roads come together. The Bike Coalition here says the new freeway ramp at Market and Octavia has been open for almost 2 months, but that gnarly intersection is still missing some key safety features to help assure pedestrians and cyclists safe passage along the street. This Wednesday, the Board of Supervisors Land Use Committee will conduct a hearing on the Market Octavia freeway ramp, what's been done so far and what's left to do, and we'll be there to emphasize the city's commitment to keeping Market Street a transit ped bike space and not a freeway feeder route, and ask that colored bike lanes pavement be installed across the mouth of the freeway as recommended by the board's August 2004 resolution banning eastbound traffic, a right turn onto the freeway. And so come on down. That will be, what's the date? 11-2. That's, I keep doing that. That's right now. Well, we'll let you know how that turned out. Well, I'll do that. I did that last week too, and I thought I wasn't going to do it this time. Well, what else have we got in New York, in San Francisco? A couple other things. Let's look at iCal, and we can actually see the calendar. Oh, yeah, the Bicycle Ballet, November 11th, Theo's birthday. I'm going to try and make it after he goes to bed. It's a Friday night. I told you about this last week, a little Busby Berkeley-esque kind of bicycle ballet. You go down, you meet at the Dog Patch Saloon. The Dog Patch Saloon, do we know where that is? It doesn't say here, but it costs $8. You get in there, there's food, there's drink, you hang out in the bar, you listen to bands, there's going to be the Spoketones, the Jimbo Trout, the Decibels, Piss and Vinegar, Corriente Peligroso, Molten Grog, Charbo, Chump from L.A., and other special guests. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then when everybody's sufficiently ready to go, everybody goes for a walk together, which is kind of nice. There's like a walking, kind of a klezmer kind of band walking along with you. And you walk up to this big overpass and you look over the side and this beautiful sight of a bike ballet goes on below you. So we're going to go down there. We'll try and get an interview with some of the people down there who are doing the bike ballet. Of course, let's see, what else is there? Holly Park night. My friend Nancy is leading a ride. They're going to take a quiet, scenic route to Holly Park, so expect a couple of medium hills along the way. Bring snacks and an extra layer of clothing for our famous hors d'oeuvres. So get an hors d'oeuvre stop, bring some food, and come on down. Don't forget front and rear lights. You can contact Nancy at nancybotkin.com. B-O-T-K-I-N, nancybotkin.com. That's going to be from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the Panhandle statue at Felon Baker in the Panhandle of Golden Gate Park. Anything else? That's about it. Let's see. Today is the... Here's an... Chris Carlson, who did a interview with us recently. He has this website called Shaping San Francisco. I'll put a link to that on bikescape.blogspot.com along with a bunch of other links. And he's going to be doing a tour, a San Francisco Radical Labor History bicycle tour, detailing the sagas of the eight-hour day movement, slavery and its discontents, the ebb and flow of class war, the 1934 general strike, and some of the curious dynamics that now exist in the city's financial and service economy. He's asking for reservations. You can call him at 415-626-2060. And he's got a couple links here, counterpulse.org and shapingsf.org, all on the website. So, 35 minutes. It's time to end another Bikescape. Tune in next week. We're going to have another interesting Bikescape. We're going to go on a ride. The Genentech, people who work for the Genentech Corporation, making the medicines that will save our lives, hopefully. They have a weekly bike ride out to work. They start in the city. They do the reverse commute down to the south, to South San Francisco, which is actually another city about, 15 miles away. And they have a bike club that goes every Friday. They meet at a coffee house, and they go down there and ride to work. So I'm going to do the ride with them, and I'm also going to be talking to someone from a consultant company to talk about corporate transportation policies. So if you work for a large corporation and you spend all day in a cube, you can take your bike there, and you can also influence other people to take their bikes, and you can influence corporate policy. Even if you live in the city and you work in an office park out in the suburbs like these people do, check it out. So that'll be next week. So have a great week. Keep your rubber side down, as they say, and take the lane. Bye now.
Catch myself a freight train, but I'm feeling blue.